You know, I knew what scripture I was going to be preaching from this morning. Some of you will be excited to know, since we've been in Galatians since April, that this may be missions, and we're only going to focus on one verse this morning. But I'm going to use a political statement right to start with. I'm going to use one that I've heard numerous times. Matter of fact, this statement has been used so many times, it's been used as a meme. And I'm really not sure the context through which the political candidate has used it. I'm not exactly sure she meant by the statement, actually, because I've never heard an explanation, just the statement itself. But I think it applies to what I'm about. What can be unburdened by what has been? Has anybody heard that in the last month? A few times. If you haven't heard it, then you probably haven't been, you've been blessed by not being inundated with political commercials. That Kamala Harris has used several times, and I'm curious as to exactly what she means, but the statement is really a fascinating one. Look at it. What can be if unburdened by what has been? What would it be if we didn't have a life full of burdens? Well, here's the problem. That life doesn't exist on this. We will all experience that statement one day if we're believers. We will know exactly what can be once we have a lifetime of burdens in this life. So, you know, it's interesting. Last Sunday, I saw Josh post on Facebook, and I thought it was great. I asked him if I could steal the idea. He posted about prayer on Facebook and got all of these, and I thought, what a great idea. So I asked his permission, and I put out a question on Facebook that says, what is your greatest burden? What is your greatest burden? So I'll challenge you right now to think about that. What are you struggling with? What is your greatest burden? And the responses were quite fascinating. There was such a wide variety of struggles. And some of them were two or three word answers, graphs of this is what I'm struggling with. But all of them had common threads that you could weave together. And I'll share. I tried to sort of categorize them into what we struggle with. So see what fits your life right now. I guarantee you, everyone in here has had a thought as I asked that question, what is your burden? The busyness of life. Life is so busy that I struggle with that. Another one was kids. Family. I just shared with y'all where we were last Sunday and what a blessing it is when you have victories of those that are in your life that you've seen struggle or hurt. A lot of times in a spiritual sense, sometimes in a physical sense or emotional sense, and you've seen our kids, our family members that are struggling, and that becomes our burden. We're so heavy-hearted for them because of our love. Feeling like I'm failing. Boy, isn't that something that we all struggle with or many of us struggle with. Been called to do certain things and they're not happening in the timeline we want, or we're not seeing it happen at all, and we're wondering, what have I done wrong, or what? Why isn't this turning out the way that I thought it would? We feel like we're failing. And that leads to disappointment. Or maybe disappointment in others. Maybe we're disappointed in those that are in places of authority over us. We're disappointed in your pastor or someone at work that you're thinking they should have a different place, but maybe they're not in their life that they need to be. And we deal with that burden of disappointment in those that we care about. Major burden. We feel like there's not enough hours in the day for all the things that we need to do, and time is such a burden that we struggle with, which I find quite interesting but very, very applicable. Someone put in there, focusing on the burdens of others to the detriment of myself. So sometimes we struggle so much hurting for others that we ignore that in itself becomes a burden for us. And we're overcome by that, and it becomes where we minister or love or care for people the way we need to because we're feeling so burdened ourselves and weighed down and heavy. The definition for burden is a load, typically something that's very heavy. You think a little mini dump truck on a 5500 Dodge bed, and I can tell you, when we don't keep the back of it cleaned off, when it stays loaded down, it's not near as efficient with the diesel fuel. The brakes wear out so much quicker, and we're sort of like that too. If we don't on a daily basis, we're going to break down. And we're going to wear out so much quicker when we keep that heavy load on us. So that brings us up to this question. This was the follow-up question that I put out there. How do we unburden it? Unburdened. You know, it's so hard, especially for people that are loving, which hopefully all of us are. We have empathy. We care about people. and we love them, and we don't want to see people struggle. So we balance that and the load that is because we're hurting for them to this desire for peace. Have empathy and love and be weighted down by life and by caring for others. How do you balance that with the peace? We're not promised that this life is going to be burden-free. As a matter of fact, we're promised the opposite of that as believers, that we are going to carry the burdens and we're called to carry the burdens, but there's a right way to do it. Now, this I did as an experiment. That's what I'm about to share with you. I didn't do it because I was looking for truth or answers in this way. I was curious. I did an AI on the internet thingy. That's the official title for it. It's called the internet thingy. So I did this search thing, and how do we get unburdened? I wanted to see what AI came up with. And there was a list of about 8 or 9 things that it came up with. Very interesting, because all of them had biblical basis behind them. Every single one of them did. I'm with you, not necessarily as it was shared through that search, but the biblical basis behind some of them with you. One of them is to shift your attention. For those that are my age and older, you've probably heard of this book called The Power of Positive Thinking. You know, that's so important when we're burdened with things and things are really weighing us down. Stay in that mud. We stay in that place, feeling that burden, the negativity of that burden. If we stay in that place, we don't let it mire us down like molasses and like an anchor. And we can't really walk and go if we stay in. But Paul says in Philippians 4:8 to get our attention away from that. He tells us to have the power of positive thinking. Let's go to that scripture, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, just, whatever is pure and lovely and commendable, if there is any moral excellence, if there is any on these things, allow your mind to be in that place where you're thinking about all the positives. You know, we spend so on what this person or that person has instead of focusing on what God has blessed us with. We get so mired down in our burden, in struggle that a loved one is having or a sin that we're locked into and we feel trapped and we're not focusing on all that God has blessed us with. If you're here today, it is a blessing by God that you're surrounded by people that love you unconditionally. And that's how we act with anyone who walks into this church. They should always feel like, when we're out in the community, they should always feel as we interact with people, presence through us. And hopefully they will see, hey, God has blessed me by allowing me to see His presence in all these places, see His presence around us if we're not looking for it, if we have our eyes focused on the wrong thing. So whatever, keep Philippians, memorize that verse and go back to that verse, and it will bring you out of any time that you're stuck and mired in quicksand that by focusing on that. Another thing that was mentioned is practicing self-care. You know, a lot of times when I'm not practicing self-care, if I'm down in the dumps, I'm get me headed in the wrong direction. It could be as simple as a sporting event, like Florida tying up halfway through the fourth quarter, and I let that get me all riled up. Now, I wasn't throwing things. Crystal won't let me do that. But I will sit there, and in my head, I'm thinking, I can't believe this. I just can't believe this. It shouldn't be this way. And I'm letting that really get me. And sometimes when we get in our headspace, no matter what it is, that was a silly example, but no matter what it is, all that to spiral into other parts of our lives. And all of a sudden, we're not eating like we're supposed to, or we're succumbing to a sin that we normally have been doing well, and now we're just like, I just don't care. And we start spiraling out of control, and life leads to another aspect, to another, and next thing you know, you're in this downward spiral. And it's really hard. But just like we can spiral up, we can spiral in the upward position. When we will do the little things, the little spiritual disciplines of prayer and fellowshipping with one another, we're doing things right, we will notice that other parts of our lives will become more self-disciplined, more self-controlled, and we will start doing the things we're supposed to physically, right? Maybe it's eating better. Maybe it's doing a little bit of thing. You know, more exercise and you're eating better. Guess what? You feel better. And then you want to go and read your Bible more or interact more with more people. You know, you're spiraling uphill, and that's the way that it can work. It's important for us to do the self-care thing. The verse that was read in the baby dedication. I will praise you because I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. It's temple. And we have a responsibility to take care of ourselves. And as we do that, we take care of the physical and spiritual. They all intertwine with one another. And as we're focusing on those things and we're more and more disciplined, we're not focused and they become less and less important. And we're stronger that we can deal with the burdens that life throws our way. That is setting goals, setting achievable goals and then completing them. Now, I know she's rolling her eyes because I have a tendency to see a door open of opportunity and that open. And sometimes I'll set goals that are pretty big. And when you do that, you don't achieve those goals in the timeline you think you should, all of a sudden that becomes a burden. What am I doing to focus on that? That is especially difficult as a pastor or in the ministry, in any setting. It's difficult when you're a parent. It's difficult in any relationship where you set goals of that everything's going to be rosy. You have to have achievable goals that on a daily basis, today, I'm going to do everything towards that relationship being better. I'm going to do everything in my power to step through this door of ministry that God's offered to me. The end is on ministering right where my feet are, whether you're a parent, a minister, or a teacher, or whatever. But sometimes with our timeline, God has control over those things. And if we're going to put our trust in our visions in God, we should and trust God with the timeline as well. So set achievable goals and then work hard and strive to complete those goals. Another one, and this was interesting that this was an AI-generated thing, is it said prayer. Prayer was one of the to overcome your burdens. Prayer is such an important part of our life to give our burdens over to the Lord. I'll tell you, if at any time in the middle of a sermon, in the middle of a worship song, it can be the walk-in type thing we're trying. At any time, if you feel burdened that you need to just pray, then this altar is open. At any time, find you a place in your house. We have a prayer chair. Crystal has a special place in her closet that she goes to. I hope you don't mind me sharing that. Place, have a dedicated place in your home, here at church. If God convicts you to give something up to Him and it's right in the middle of a sentence, I encourage you to come kneel. And let me tell you what we should all do. If we see somebody come and kneel at this altar, we shouldn't wait for them to come lay your hands on them and pray with them. Then you should do that. We saw that last Sunday at the church, right in the middle, at Tucker's church, right in the middle. Somebody came down to the altar and prayed, and like three people, right there. What that's doing is that's sharing in each other's burden, and you're showing that person that you love them unconditionally. Prayer is such an important. We should start and end every day with prayer. Communicate. Now, this one's truly a struggle for us. A lot of times we don't want to share our burdens. We don't want other people to know what we're struggling at the way we should. But it's so important that we communicate, because when we keep it all inside and we keep it bottled up, we don't with those that we know we can trust and love, family members, church members, your pastor, Sunday school teachers that you're feedback from. We need to feel comfortable that we can communicate and share our burdens with them. The last two I want to share. One is create healthy boundaries. Boundaries in life. My first few weeks of pastoring at Bowden, first time I was a pastor, period. Family that I invited to church, they came to church, they hadn't been in church for a long time, and I really poured into that one particular family. And the more I poured into that family, and Crystal did the same, and the more we poured in, the more was expected. Continue to pour into them to the point that we did not set the healthy boundaries, and all of our face and other parts of our life struggled. Again, as a parent, as a pastor, if anybody here is a politician, same thing applies. If we set one part of our life up so we place, then all other parts, important parts of our life are going to struggle. So we have to have important boundaries. If you come home and all of your discussions are about how terrible work was, and it's not how is your day, how are things going, and it's difficult. It's difficult to have. And again, you're struggling with this balance of empathy and with peace and joy, and they can coexist. We just have to pray and work through what that balance is. So we have to. Another way we create healthy boundaries is pausing before we make a major life decision. And I know you're rolling your eyes at me again. Before we say, this is the direction God's leading me, we need to take time to pray over that and communicate with those that we love. That's part of creating a healthy boundary. And the last one And I've alluded to this several times. The most important thing that for our burdens to be lifted is to give them to God. It's to surrender to Christ. Give to the Lord. And if we do that on a regular basis, you know, God has this uncanny, this supernatural ability that we don't, that He can completely wipe it away. And we don't have to keep it. Now, all these are great. All these are principles. Lift our burdens and become more unburdened or to deal with the burdens that we have. They're great. I have one thing in common. They're all self-motivated. They're all things that we do ourselves. The Lord is helping us through sort of internalized. Now, this finally, we're getting to our scripture for today, which is Galatians 6:2 verse. And I want to share that with you now. Carry one another's burdens. Carry one another's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. One another's burdens. Now that's where we have our biggest struggle. We have our biggest struggle taking away from sin. It's a little easier when you're a parent. I'm thinking about our baby dedication. But what would it be if we put all of our focus and we looked at everyone through the lens and the eyes of Jesus, everyone unconditionally, instead of focusing on how our reaction to them or what we're doing for them is going to impact our own life. I love this much of myself, but no more, because I want to keep mine. It's to be. It says carry. Paul says carry the burdens of others. Carry one another's burdens. We have physical burdens, we have spiritual burdens, we have emotional burdens, and we have a responsibility. I was convicted about a couple of things. I'll come back to that in a second. Let me share a quick story with you. This is one of those rabbit holes, the earlier service as well. When I was a senior in high school, I was my senior year, I mean, I worked out a lot. I had weight lifts strong. I was strong. And every year we would go on a youth retreat or a youth trip to Florida at church. And so our youth group Grove was pretty big, and so we had other churches that joined too. So that was probably 50 or 60 of us. And every night, this night after dinner, we would go. No, we were in a little hotel or motel. Look, there's a difference between a hotel and a motel. We were in a motel. A little like the bait was. It was sort of set up like a motel, but it was right across the road from the beach. And so after dinner, we would go down the steps, and it was a fireplace or a campfire on the beach, and we would sit around the campfire, and we would have our evening service together. And so this campfire tonight, go in complete silence, no talking. We weren't allowed to talk. And I was like, okay. So I walked down the steps, and I'm walking across. Youth leaders is right there, and they have this massive pile of sandbags. Now, they're all different sizes. Some of them are like this big around. Big. And I'm like, well, I know what I'm going to end up carrying because I'm a big, strong guy. And they reached down, and they grabbed one that's like this big around. And I was a little bag. And right in front of me was one of the sixth grade girls. And they gave her one that she could barely drag. She on her shoulder, and she's walking in front of me carrying this thing. And I thought to myself, I'm glad that she's only going a few steps. That's a, being honest, was like, she's got the big bag. I just got this little bitty one. Well, we walked to the beach, and there were a bunch of people and I was in front of us. We got down to the beach, and there was no campfire. And there was one of the volunteers standing there and said, go to the left. Their left, and said, the campfire's that way. And I turned and looked, and I didn't see a campfire. It was 2 miles down the beach. Bags full of sand. And again, I was thankful that my bag was really small. And I'm carrying that, or I'm swinging that bag around, walking along, and notice that this little girl is really struggling. I mean, she's sweating, and she's starting to get a little bit of emotion, so heavy. And then I got up next to her at one point, and I said, listen, I cheated, I broke the rules. I said, here, swallow her head, and I gave her my bag, and I took hers. It wasn't that heavy to me, because I was so much bigger than her. So I'm carrying the bag. We're continuing to walk down. She's walking next to me now, and she's a lot more relieved. And it wasn't too big of a load, but I could tell as I'm walking along, it's getting heavier and heavier. A 7th or 8th grade young man, and I get up next to him, and he's got this huge bag too. And I'm like, hey, you know, so we swapped out again. You know, a mile and a half later, we finally see the light down below, and we're getting closer and closer to the, I don't know, 4 or 5 bags that I'm carrying. And there were several people along the way. It's like, here, let me get my bag back. I'm like, nah, I'm good carrying it. Now my legs are getting weak this time, and it's really bothering me, and it's getting really heavy, but I was not going to let load back. we get to the campfire, and they said, you can put your bags down here. We put them down, and we're all sitting around. I am spent, but I was so proud of myself for carrying all those sandbags, and I had to be the star. I had to have won first place. And he said, some of those of you who are willing to take on the burdens of others, but some of you were so prideful that when you continued to give some of that burden back, you kept it all for yourself. And I'll never forget that lesson that I learned. And that goes back to one of those first things. What are you burdened with? Sometimes we get so prideful that we will not allow other people's loads. This is my responsibility. I will take this burden on myself. Nobody else is going to help me with it. That's not God, not what He calls us to do. He says, carry each other's burdens. A couple of verses later, we're not going to go into it. A couple of verses later, He says, carry your own load. And we have to make sure that we're taking care of self. But at the same time, and in the same context, we have a responsibility to carry each other's burdens. We should be watching and looking at us that need help, and we carry their burdens. We think about those that are shut-ins. I mean, we had a discussion a few weeks ago about, in the first century, those that couldn't come to church, because you're risking your life if you came to what they would call church, someone's home, and every time they gather together, they would hear the gospel, they would hear from those Jesus, and they would do communion because Jesus commanded them to, every time. And those that couldn't come, they would risk their life to go to their house. Some of you brought up in leadership a few weeks back, this is something that I'm convicted in us doing. We need to have the people in this community, whether they're church members or not, that are shut-ins, that need help, that have already gone through and they have already carried so many burdens. And it's time for us to step up as a church community and say, we want to minister to them. So that's a ministry that we're going to implement in the near future. And if God is convicting you that I want to be a part of that ministry, let me know. Some of you are burdened on that. That's something that we'll be implementing in the weeks to come. And I'm a little bit convicted that it's taken me this long to get to the church. We also had a baby dedication just a little while ago. And in that dedication time, we made a covenant with these parents and with these children that we would be there to help carry those burdens, that they're going to have the rest that God has called them to be a part of this fellowship. That's something that we have a requirement to do. We're making the same covenant family that's here, the visitors, all that are here. If someone walks into this church as a visitor, we should be committed to unload their burdens as we know about them and minister to them. And if we will do that as a church, we will not mean in this building the people that will want to come and be loved unconditionally by total strangers. Our focus on what connects us, which is the fact that we have souls, that we have breath and not. Tuesday, roughly 160 million people either Tuesday or already have voted. Probably take 5 or 6%. Roughly half of those are going to disagree with whatever position that you take. God loves them just as much as their soul is just as important to God as yours is. Those are different from us. We are driven to acknowledge the differences and the diversity in our lives, focusing on what God has, focusing on what brings us together and what we have in common. We have political differences. We have social differences. We have age differences. We have gender differences. We have religious differences. All these things that separate us and driven in. Crystal's wearing a shirt this morning. Can you stand up for just a second? Just stand up. It won't hurt. I'm doing it right now. All right, so she's got a shirt on, and on the back it has an elephant and a donkey. In the background. But in the front is a lamb. If we'll focus on that lamb, you can sit down now. If we'll focus on the lamb and not focus on the other things and love unconditionally, attractive, that will attract people to the kingdom. We have a responsibility, and it is such a joy to face someone with you, and you ignore all the differences, and you just love. The last part of that verse, and I know we're running late. Somebody changed the clock. I thought we was an hour late. We're okay. The last part of that verse in chapter 2 says, if you will carry each other's burdens in this way, in this fulfilling the law of Christ. All through Galatians, ever since April, we've been talking about how we cannot fulfill the law of Moses, not avoid sin in our life. We're going to screw up. That is unavoidable, but it's by the grace of God that we overcome because of what Christ did on the cross for us. but we can and we must fulfill the law of Christ. It goes back to that first verse that we talked about at the baby dedication. It's to love God with everything we have, with all our soul, our mind, our strength, and we love each other. He says in Matthew 22, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Imagine what could be, how unburdened we would be if all of our focus was to showing God's love to us and completely ignore all the things that separate us.